following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I want to ask you to open your Bible to those two passages, Matthew chapter 6 and Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I want to read these to you, and then I'm going to slip over to the piano. We're going to sing one more song together this morning before we get in the Word. But I'm going to wait until you have your two thumbs in those two places in your Bible so we can flip quickly from Matthew to Ecclesiastes. Now, in the Matthew passage, when we get down to what you call, and we all call, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, the model prayer, I'm going to ask you to read with me through that prayer. But starting at verse 5, listen to what Jesus says there about when you pray and how to pray. The title of the message this morning is Say What You Need to Say. I do like that song by John Mayer, by the way, but it's not really related to that. In verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret," I love this, "he will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray." Let's pray this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Flip over to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And I thought I had it marked, but I didn't. Ecclesiastes 5. Would you stand with me as we read this? Verses 1 through 3. "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." Read the last sentence of verse 2 again. "For God is in heaven." Ready? "For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Father God, I have a lot to learn about letting my words be few in many ways, Lord. But would you teach us just the power of those few words spoken to you in a heartfelt and focused way? Lord, would you teach us today? Teach us how to pray today. Draw us in, Lord, as you have, and hear our hearts as we lift them to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a seat, please. And I think you know this song. It comes from what we just read. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Let's sing that again. It's been a while since we've sung this. Let's sing together. You are God in heaven. You are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Thank you.
stand in awe of you. Yes, I stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. The simplest of all love songs. The simplest of all love songs I want to bring to you. So I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. Let's stand one more time. Just seems right. And I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. And I'll stand. And I'll stand in awe of you. Jesus, I will stand in awe of you. And I'll let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love. Yes, Jesus, I am so in love. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
And all his loved ones said, amen. Amen. Are you? Oh, I hope so. Have a seat, please. Found that interesting when that song was really, really popular and was sung all over the place. Worship leaders always sang that right before the pastor preached. I don't know if that was a message that they were hoping that the preacher would let his words be few as he moved into the message time, but it didn't work. I'm just saying it didn't work. But I'm going to talk about these two passages really together this morning. But I want to say this at the very beginning. I don't know if you've noticed this, but God speaks incessantly. He never stops talking. He's in one sense like your 2 or 3 year old. How many of you know what I mean? That just never stops talking. In fact, Shannon was our most talkative one when the kids were growing up, and it was all day, you know, and it was always worth hearing. Mostly, it was almost always worth hearing. But, you know, and I'd go and I'd put them to bed, or Joy would put them to bed. We'd pray for them. I'd get out my guitar and sing to my favorite audience, just my kids. And we'd sing some worship songs. And then I'd pray and I'd turn off the light. And the chatter would, you know, sort of calm down between her and Bethany, who shared bunk beds. And then they'd go off to sleep. But if I stood by their door, it's somewhere around 10:30 to 10:45 at night, Shannon would start talking in her sleep. She was incessant. And that's great. But listen, God is incessant. He's talking all the time, revealing his truth and conveying his heart to us. His voice is nonstop. And he speaks in so many ways. You've heard this passage from Hebrews chapter 1. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. Well, he did speak through the prophets. And he spoke through the prophets in many different ways. There were prophets that were just very didactic. They were teachers. And they just spoke in thick theology. And some prophets spoke in picture language. But God has been revealing himself to us since the beginning of creation. And I just want to give you 3 bullet points on how God's incessant voice continues to come. It comes through creation. We're not going to go there today, but in Romans chapter 1, we'll be there soon. it talks about how what can be known of God is seen, not just in his word, we'll get to that, but by the things that he made. Everything God made says something to us about the one who made it. Can't you tell something about a person by their artwork? There was a memorial service here yesterday for a young woman who passed away a couple of weeks ago. And some of her artwork was on display. And you could tell something about Marla's heart by her art. You can tell something about God by the things that he's made, the nature, you know, and many people don't want to call it creation, right? That's not their word for it. It's nature. Because we don't want to come close to saying creator, because when you say creator and creation, it's obvious that's his work. It's his handiwork. But let me tell you something. The nature behind nature is the nature of God. It's God who created everything that you see in every corner of this universe. It's his nature, but you see something about God. He speaks through creation. Obviously, he speaks through scripture, and the scripture says so much about what he says. Even, and I encourage you once a year, take a slow read through Psalm 119 and see all that the Bible has to say to you and all of these different categories. God speaks through scripture. And if all you're going to listen to is the heavens above, you're going to learn something about God, but you're not going to see the articulation of his truth like you find it in his word. Don't leave the book behind. God speaks through the scripture. He speaks through nature. He speaks through creation. And this one might come as a surprise. He speaks through an inner revelation that some people would call that our unseared conscience. What does that mean? Well, I know what that means. You know what that means. Did any of you practice doing bad things long enough to where it no longer felt bad to you to do bad things? Let me see the hands of those who did. I've told you the story. I'll tell it to you in brief again. First thing I ever stole that I can remember was a little 1.5 to 2-inch toy gorilla from my friend that I sat next to in second grade. He dropped it. He couldn't find it. I saw it playing a trick. I put my foot over it, and he gave up looking. And I thought, ooh, the gorilla is mine. I took it home. I couldn't play with it. I felt bad about the bad little thing that I did. I took it back to school the next day, put it right back where I found it, put my foot on it. And when he came into class, I said, hey, buddy, there's your gorilla. And I was the hero. I was the jerk is what I was. I was a hypocrite. But I got very, very used to doing bad things to where I could steal anything and not feel bad about it. Crawl in and out of your window at night and steal your stereo and not feel bad about it until I got caught. And then I felt bad about what? Getting caught. But that's all I felt bad about. I didn't feel bad about the stealing. But it's that inner witness of God to our hearts. And it says this in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Speaking of Jesus, he is the light that lights everyone. I would have underscored everyone. Everyone that comes into the world, every man, every soul that comes into the world, he puts light in them. And I think it's that unseared conscience, which is the voice of God to us. God speaks all the time. He is never really silent. He is that light that lights all of us. He's the maker of everything that we see. And yes, he has given us a book if we'll just read it. Now, the deists, you know what a deist is? It's somebody that believes, well, the only explanation for everything that we see is someone. They won't always say God, but someone had to have made this stuff. All of this stuff that we see, they see it and they hear it. But the deist, even though they see and they hear the voice of God in creation, they don't believe, and here's the definition of a deist, look it up yourself. They don't believe he intervenes down here anymore. In any way, he sort of made the closed system, he dropped us into it, and he said, let's see what you can do with this. And how have we done with it? We messed it up from sea to shining sea. And the deist believes that God did create it, but he doesn't intervene, and he certainly doesn't write books for us to read. That's basically, in a nutshell, maybe that's not a complete fair profile of the deist. But the true atheists, they have a much tougher job. See, they see all the evidence and they ignore the obvious conclusion that someone smart did all of this stuff. There was a designer behind that, which is obviously designed. Now, the agnostic, the honest agnostic, at least they're leaving the door open for whoever that someone might be. If he will, at some point, reveal himself to them, as they would say, maybe adequately. The jury is still out for those people, but yet God all the time is speaking incessantly. His voice is never quiet. I want you to see this up on the screen, and if you can't see this one because I'm standing in the way, you can see it up on the other screens. In Psalm 19, verses 1-8, it says, the heavens proclaim, another word for preach, God speaking, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. See what I mean? He's incessant. And night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard as we hear voices, in other words. Verse 4 says, yet their message has gone out throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. The message is going out. Are you hearing his message? Do you look around and see God and hear his voice? What he wants to explain to you, God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. I love the poetic way that the writer here, David, describes the voice of God as he conveys truth and his character to us in everything we see. Verse 6 and 7, the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat and the instructions. Now, here's where he moves from the creation of God to the book of God. In one translation, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect. So which is the perfect revelation of God? The perfect articulation of God, where he speaks precisely? It's in his word. All of the heavens and all that he created, it grabs our attention so he can grab our heart, so he can get our heart. But David says, but the law of the Lord, or the instructions of the Lord, they're perfect. Reviving the soul, the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. That's what the book will do for you. The commandments of the Lord, they're right, bringing joy to the heart. And the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Righteous altogether. God is always talking. Turn to the person next to you and say, are you hearing him? Are you hearing God? Have you heard him today? Is there anything that you saw even on your way here? Or maybe when you stepped out your back door and you heard the birds? There's a mockingbird that lives in our neighborhood and has taken over. And I'm just looking for a new house. I mean, this thing is, it's incessant, but it's marvelous. How they can, if there was a car door where somebody, you know, just hit the beeper and went beep, beep. And then the mockingbird went beep, beep. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. God built that critter. And that's just incredible to me. Has God spoken to you today? Have you heard what he has to say to you? This speech, it never ends. And none of it is vain chatter. Every single faint whisper of God, it matters. But here's what I want to hit on today. Often, what God has to say to us that really grabs our attention and really makes a difference, it's the sound bites. It's the brief little sound bites that grab our attention and then grab our heart. Because God's voice is not just constant. He's not just incessant. He's concise. He knows what you need to hear. And if you're the least bit like me, he knows you can't handle this much, that you need this much. Something very brief and profound and heart-catching that he'll say to you that will stop you in your tracks if you'll let it. He's very, very concise, bringing profound change by just what did it say in Ecclesiastes? A few words. Just a few words. A word in itself, or a phrase, or visuals. How many of you are visual learners? Yeah. Does God ever get your attention by something you see in creation? Or something, just a picture you see. It happened to me the other day. I was racing over to the pastor's conference. And is anybody like me, all those lanes are there to be used. And you're a lane changer, you know? Come on. If I see I can get a car and a half ahead, or just honestly, a half a car ahead on that lane, I'm moving to that lane. And then I get stuck. But I had weaved my way in and out, and I'm going down Warner. And I'm hoping to get the light at Harbor, but the light stopped. But I'm in the front. But I'm over on the left side, and where I want to be is over on the right side. So I'm looking, I'm kind of sizing up the person beside me, and then, yeah, she's not going anywhere quick. So I can scoot out of here, I can get in front of her, and I'm just ready. I'm ready. I'm sort of bristling with energy, okay, looking for the light. Look, how many of you look at the side lights? Okay, they're about to turn red, and I'm going to be first away from the line. I just want to see some people shaking their heads. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. So... And I'm ready to run. And then I'm looking up at the traffic signal, and sitting right on top of the traffic signal is a dove. Why did that make you go, oh? Well, it kind of made me go, oh, too. I'm looking up at this. What does a dove sort of signify? Shalom. Peace. And so I look at this dove sitting above that traffic light, and I'm waiting for green to come and set me free and let me and I've got plenty of time to get there. I didn't need to race like that. And the dove looked at me. I think he did. I'm not sure. But he spoke to me, and he said, chill, Bill. Just chill. He said, shalom. Shalom. And God spoke to my heart that day. And it really did. And he said, I did this for you to catch your attention. There was a part of it that was just this. As I'm looking down Warner and around at Harbor, everything's industrial there, you know, everything. And there's this little tiny piece of what God made for a purpose that speaks about peace. And he just said, hey, Bill, I did this for you. I move that little bird right there. I love the way doves fly. When they take off, they sound like their wings or hinges that are squeaky. They sort of, you know, chirp as they're going. But it spoke to my heart, and God said, I did this for you. Now, by the way, when God speaks to you, because he does, don't apologize. If you say to someone, you know, the Lord said to me the other day, you can explain, no, I don't hear voices coming out of the heavens. I don't hear anything audible. But the scripture says, his sheep hear his voice. So don't apologize when you know that God has spoken to you, and explain it in any way that you want to. But God spoke to me that day. So listen when God speaks to you, whether it's through pages and pages and pages of a gospel as you're reading through, and it captures your heart and it captures your attention. Or it's some little dove sitting on top of a light post that just God says to you, hey, Bill, peace, just chill out, Bill. You don't need to get there that fast. Somebody came up to me afterwards and said, did you speed away? It's none of your business what I did after that. But it brings me to my point, our point for today anyway. You and I speak incessantly too. Your life is saying something every single day, all day long, all of us. Day in and day out, every day, every night, hour after hour, your life is saying something. The testimony of your life, it says something. The way you treat people, it says something. Of course, your words, they say something. But in every word and in every action, we're speaking incessantly. Now, we're talking in this Refuge School of Prayer about talking to God. And so at this point in our university of prayer here, it's time to talk about our words. And today, I'm going to talk about being concise, not flippant in our words, not just shooting God, hey, God, bye, but being concise in our words. This coming Wednesday night, the message is going to be about being persistent. And those two really do go hand in hand, praying on and praying through and not giving up. But this morning, I want to talk about this thing about being concise in our prayer. And just to touch on it again, our motivation as we move into this. Why do we pray? What brings us to prayer? I think underneath all of it, it's not just the preacher saying, you ought to pray more. I really do believe that it's an innate, deep desire in us to know God. Isn't that how you get to know anybody? Through conversation? Through interaction? And before it had anything to do with anything sexual, it's intercourse with God. It's speaking to him. It's really making connection with a God who loves you. We pray because it's not just the mandate. You better get on your knees. You better spend at least an hour on your knees every day. It's a necessity. It's nature in us. And I do believe also that one of the reasons I pray is I believe wholeheartedly that prayer changes things. Does anybody else believe that? I believe prayer changes things. Just take it to the right person. You got to speak to the right person. When I'm out here in the foyer, it happened last night. Somebody came up and said, oh, I got a question for you. And Alan was standing about 20 feet away. I say this, I can't tell you how many times throughout the week, go ask Alan. Or with the kids, it used to be, go ask your mom. And around here, well, you want a scheduling thing? Go talk to Kim about that. Something about Sunday night? Go talk to Isaac about that. You got to talk to the right person. But when we're talking about intercession and prayer and the things that we need, that's a supply. The Bible talks about that in the term supplication. When we need stuff from God and we really need, you got to go to the right person. So you go to God. That's our motivation, is to be with him and to be near him, to get to know him. and to take our requests and our needs and our desires to the right person. Let me show you what C.S. Lewis said. By the way, have any of you ever heard this phrase? Prayer doesn't change things, prayer changes me. How many of you have heard that? Well, that's been ascribed to C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis didn't say that. That's not how he said it. At least I can't find that phrase. Here's how C.S. Lewis said it. I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. Now, there's more to be said about prayer. But I wanted to put that statement of, or that corrected statement of C.S. Lewis in its context. He said, I pray because I have to pray. I'm helpless without God. I have to call upon him. But let me talk about this for just a minute. No, of course, prayer does not change God. Nothing changes God. God is what God always has been. Of course, you don't change God when you pray. And of course, it changes you when you spend time with God. It changes you if you spend a bunch of time with anybody. The two of you are going to kind of morph a little bit in your worldview and in your relationship. But of course, prayer changes me. But let me tell you this also. Prayer changes plenty. I have to disagree with the person that says prayer doesn't change things. Prayer just changes me. No, no, no. Prayer changes lots of things. Have you read the Bible? Has anybody here ever read any of the Bible? Did you read about Elijah? It says he prayed and the rain stopped. It says he prayed and the rain began. Daniel prayed for 3 weeks. While the help was coming from an angel who got caught up in a wrestling match with some sort of demonic spirit, you know, while he was bringing help and bringing ministry to Daniel, and Daniel just kept praying through. Jesus prayed and dead people were raised from the dead. Of course, prayer changes things. Prayer will always change things. It will change us deeply. Well, maybe it was just a coincidence. You happened to pray, God was going to do it anyway. You know what I've noticed? The more I pray, the more those coincidences happen. The more I just take that to God, the more I say, I've been praying for certain people. How many of you have been praying for certain people for a long time? Don't you dare stop. I've been praying for certain people, and it is so exciting to watch things. It's just maybe a tiny, watch this. Can you see the change in the degree as the thing rotates? Just a little bit. Now, I want it to change all the way around. That's repentance. But from here to here, it's sometimes very incremental. And I pray and I watch God do that. That makes me want to pray more. You pray because God does change things all the time. Now, Paul told the Thessalonians, he told them to be nonstop in prayer, didn't he? In chapter 5, in verse 16 through 18, he says this, I want you to rejoice all the time. I want you to pray all the time. I want you to give thanks all the time. And he wasn't calling us to be in constant chatter to God 24/7. To begin with, I don't think God needs that 24/7 chatter from us. Paul is saying, don't ever give up on prayer. I've said this many, many times. You got to eat to be healthy. Don't stop eating, okay? Did I just tell somebody, stay at the smorgasbord, just take a chair to the smorgasbord and eat, 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 eat. You pray on a rhythm and you never give up on prayer. Just because you haven't seen something change like that doesn't mean that it's time to give up. You pray. You keep pushing back against prayer. God isn't calling us to endless chatter. He doesn't need long lectures from us. And by the way, Steve, Steve's a lawyer. Why do they call it a legal brief when it's about this big? There's nothing brief about it. You know, God doesn't need us to come before him like a lawyer pleading a case and stretch this thing out for hours and hours and hours. We don't come as lawyers to God. We come as sons and daughters to the living God. Does that give anybody comfort? Anybody amen? You guys said amen really loud for Ben last week, and I'm just saying I'm just a little bit jealous. But don't you love the fact that God hears you when you pray? That he doesn't turn a deaf ear to you? So what keeps us from praying? Even in this concise way, just saying what we need to say to God. It really is what we're talking about this morning. Just say what you need to say. Well, I think sometimes it's because, I don't know what to say. Anybody ever have that sort of intimidation? I don't know what to say. What do you say to God? You speak plainly to God, but I don't know what to say, and I don't know how to say it. And I don't know how long really should I pray? Look, you wondered why this was here, didn't you? And did anybody ever have one of these? Does anybody remember talking on a phone that actually looked like that? How many of you remember a phone that had a cord? Let me see the hands of those who have never lived in a house with a phone that had a cord. Let me see the hands of the young people. Okay. But God's just telling you, you know, dial up. He's saying, you know, pick up the handset and talk to me. He's saying, come on, let's just talk this over. He's not looking for perfect grammar. He just wants to hear from you. He wants to hear a few words from you. And the cool thing about our connection device with God, it is cordless. It is mobile. And you get great coverage. There's no place where you can't get coverage. I don't care what dark canyon you're in. God can hear you from there. And he wants to hear you from there. And God is just saying, come on, just dial up. How many of you that remember these cordless phones? Remember the day when you never had to ask this question? Honey, have you seen the phone? Do you know where the phone is? Well, yeah, it's right where it's been for 25 years, hanging on the wall with the phone hopelessly all tangled up and curled. You never, ever had to ask that. Ladies, before the day of the cell phone, you could work on your makeup all the way to work. You didn't just have to do it, you know, in between phone calls. And guys, you could forget about, you know, texting and chatting on your way to work. And you could just criticize every driver on the road all the way and just focus on what really, really matters. But God says to come to me. He says, talk to me. There's no battery or coverage issues. He can hear you now. And he's, did you catch that? I worked hard on that. He can hear you now, right from where you are. So dial up and say what needs to be said. And remember, a conversation, it has to have margin. It has to move back and forth. A conversation is where there's both talking and there's listening. You talk, and then he's going to talk. So give God space to speak when you take some time away in prayer. And while you're driving to work and you're lifting up the names of the people that you love, and the people that love you, and the people who don't love you, as you're taking time to lift those situations to God and give it to him. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that it was very obvious? They probably called you, and they didn't call to let you talk. They called to let you listen. As they went on and on and on, have you ever had a conversation like this where it's like, and you just realize they're never gonna stop. So you just quietly, you laid it down right there, and you went over and you finished doing the dishes, and you went out and you mowed the lawn, and you came back, and yeah, they're still going. They're not done. They'll never be done, ever. That was a man's voice, and I don't know what was behind that, but. But you give God time to talk. You stop the lecture and you let him talk. Or maybe sometimes prayer feels like it's more of, you remember the song, this came to mind the other day, The Dangling Conversation by Simon and Garfunkel. And he's describing, he says, as he talked about that song, it was sort of the awkward rhythm of a new love relationship. Where they're out and they're sitting down, like it appears like a restaurant, and you read your Emily Dickinson, and I am my Robert Frost, and in the middle of this dangling conversation, that it feels awkward. It just feels like it's going nowhere. It's like a first date, and what do you say? And I don't know what to say, and I'm awkward anyway. And you hear you are talking with God, and it's nice universe you made, God. That's a good place to start. A compliment to God that, yes, you did. You made a beautiful universe. It's not a bad place to start, but the concise can be so powerful. And even in human relationships, how many of you would agree with this? The few words that say, thanks, babe. What a great dinner that was. Hey, you babes out there. I shouldn't say that. You sisters out there. Does that sound... Does that sound good to you when he says, that was a great dinner? Let me see the hands of those that appreciate it. A concise compliment. The brief words of help, or hey, you're standing on my air hose. Please get off my air hose. The concise words of help and forgive me and restore me, spoken to God, are powerful words. But I want to encourage you to use your words. Don't think that your words are not good enough. God, how many of you have a copy of this book, The Book of Common Prayer? Anybody have The Book of Common Prayer? It's an interesting book. If you don't know what to say to God, there's plenty of ideas in here on how to talk to God. Let me read one of them to you. It says this, "Grant us, O Lord, not to mind earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we are placed among things that are passing away, to cleave to those that shall abide through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen." Well, that's a great prayer. But you know what? I don't talk like that. The these and the thous. It might be a great idea on how to pray. Listen to this one. "Lord, we pray thee that thy grace may always proceed and follow us and make us continually to be given to all good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen." Those are great, but I notice as I read through the Book of Common Prayer, those words are not so common. By the way, common there means to be used in the common assembly. I want to encourage you to use your words. Don't be intimidated by the beautiful poetry prayer that you read. It's wonderful, and I said it might inspire you, but who talks like that today? God wants to hear your voice and your words and your needs lifted up from your heart to him. Yeah, the Bible has a lot of long prayers, but most of them are brief prayers. Most of the profound ones are concise prayers. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. Blind beggars by the side of the road who obviously didn't have, you know, the proper grammar for their prayer. It was just screaming, "Hey, Jesus, Son of David, a little help here, please," as he's walking by. Didn't want him to pass by. And "Lord, restore me." And "Lord," oh, David in Psalm 23, "Lord, just walk with me through the valley of the shadow of death." And he will. Passion-soaked prayers, desperate prayers of help, generated sometimes by fear and anxiety. You know what I mean? The prayers that are generated by, "I'm terrified, and I'm out of help. I'm out of resources. Oh, God, help me." God loves to hear that. God listens to prayer that comes from your heart in Jesus' name, not just poetry prayer. Now, the longest prayer in the New Testament, anybody know where it is? John, what chapter? 17, John 17. So since you knew that, Steve, I want you to time me reading this prayer. Would you please? I want to know exactly how long it takes to read this prayer. So if you've got it, if you got your Bible there, turn to John chapter 17. There you go. And just follow along with me. This is Jesus praying at the upper room at the Last Supper. And he says this, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he may give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world, and they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. And now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I've given to them the words which you have given me, and they've received them. And they've known surely that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. And I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I've kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That's you. That's you and me. We came to Christ by their word. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them and you and me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Whoa. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known me, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Bam. How long did that take?
Exactly 3 minutes.
Exactly 3 minutes. Do you have 3 minutes? You know, that was few words that Jesus spoke. Now, I can't ever hope to speak like Jesus spoke there, but I got 3 minutes to talk to Jesus, to say a few words to him about many people and about many, many, many situations. You got three, let's stretch it. Do you got 4 minutes maybe? And you could take it even a little bit further and pray for those whose names haven't crossed your lips for a long, long time. You don't need vain repetition, like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He doesn't hear us because we say the same thing over and over and over and over again. But boy, the heart that's lifted to him on behalf of a hurting person or a desperate situation, he will hear that. He already knows the need. You're not giving God news. Nothing is news to God. But boy, when you drop your burden before him and your heart breaks for a broken person, oh, God hears that. So just lose your stopwatch on timing, you know, how long you're going to be praying. And forget about the Devo books for until a little bit later. And your book of prayer. And just open up your heart and lift your voice to him and just say what you need to say. Say what you need to say. Now, some confession. Here's a brief confession. You want me to confess something to you? Okay. There are days when I speak more to me than I do to God. I know there are days when I talk more to inanimate objects and bad drivers and gophers in my backyard than I do to God. And that's a shame that he doesn't hear my voice. Why not say a few words to God right now, today? I'm going to ask our worship team to come back and just begin to play some music that's going to be a background for just a few words. It might be a gratitude list that you want to just say, God, thank you for bringing me here today. Thank you, Father, for the people I'm around. Thank you for my life and my health. And I thank you for my good doctor who's helping me get back to health. And thank you for my wife or my husband and my kids. All of them, by the way, every one of them, even the incessant ones. But thank you, God, for that. And maybe you just want to say, Lord, I love you. I just love you. Or maybe you need to say to God today, I need you. Lord, save me. Why not use the few words today and in the days ahead, by the way? Give me just a moment here. Why not use those few words approach to your family every day? Just get up and before you leave the house, lift their names to Jesus and pray whatever else needs to be prayed over them. And why not? Would you please do this? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or a pledge, but would you try every day to say a few words to God about refuge and ask him to teach us and lead us and bless us and make us a house of prayer like never before? Now, this one's going to require some exercise, but why not walk your neighborhood and pray for the people in your house, in the houses up and down your street? If you know their names, pray. Lord, I pray for Bill and Val. God, I pray for Dee Dee, the widow. I pray for her, Lord, and keep her. God, I pray for these people over here across the street. I don't even know their names because they run from the car to the house, and we've never even had a word. It's almost, but Lord, I'm going to pray for them. You know them. And pray for your neighborhood. Rich, who sits right here in the front, he walks through his neighborhood, and on the way to church, he prays for neighbors on the way. He told me a story recently about something that's begun to change in those neighbors' conversations. So let's say a few words to the Lord this morning. Okay, well, the guys are just playing. They might be the most meaningful words you've said in a long time. Well, let's just pray for just a moment, okay? It's not going to take long. We're not even going to take 3 minutes, just even less than a minute. Lift up some names and situations or praise to God. Let's pray. Father's heard those few words. He really has heard that. And now you can rest in his care. And now you just keep walking with Jesus and keep the conversation open. And now you can listen to him when he's speaking to you. He'll give you something better than a bird sitting on a street light. He's got something deep and personal he wants to say to you. But let's say what we need to say. Let's say what we need to say. Let's keep it going. Let your words be few. Let them be real, and let them be passionate and focused, and they will be powerful. For some of you, maybe as you were praying just now, the first words were, oh God, this is all so new to me, and I want to know you. The first words you need to say to God are these words, be merciful to me, Lord. Forgive my sin. Thank you for dying for me on the cross, Jesus, and give me life. And you know what? He'll do it. That's why he came. Let me ask you to stand together. We're going to sing a few words, and then we're going to let you go. But that's where life begins. The God who so loved you, called you to call upon you. So do that. Let's sing. Amen. May you lift to God those few powerful words of common prayer. Every day, your voice, your words, saying, oh God, I need you. Oh God, I want you. Oh God, I love you. Oh God, I thank you. If this morning you know you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, and therefore you haven't started life like it was meant to be, he wants to save you today. He wants to wash your sins white and give you a new life. And if that sounds like the deal you've been waiting for all your life, we'd love to pray with you. Come forward in the prayer team, or maybe the Christian that came with you would love to just sit right back down with you as you surrender what's left of your life to Jesus. Communion will be served over in the prayer room. Grace and peace upon you in Jesus' strong name. Declare your dependence upon him as you celebrate his hand upon our country. God bless you. Grace and peace on you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.